Okay. I was over this week, one of my old chavrusas, David Rasm, Rabbi Rasm, he's Rabbi Nesh, printed a beautiful sefer on the parsha. So if somebody gives you a sefer, you should always open up to see what he has to say. So yeah, I saw a beautiful vart on this week's parsha, on Parsha's bow, where he speaks a little bit about Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is the very, very end of this week's parsha. And we know that the child is redeemed. You have to redeem the oldest child. Why do you have to redeem the oldest child? It's an interesting discussion. One of the thoughts is that because everybody was supposed to have died, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu has saved them from death, because they are the Bechors, just like the Kaddish Baruch Hu killed all the Bechors. So, as Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, somewhat, they were sanctified afterwards, and because they were sanctified, they have to be redeemed. Other people say they should have died. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded, this is what the Sforno says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded their death by sanctifying them. You can't kill somebody that's Kaddish, and therefore they're Kaddish, they need to be redeemed. It's a fascinating Sforno, though. The Sforno says, V'chol b'chor b'ni efadeh, says, K'dei sheyu mutarim ba'avodes chol. What's the reason for Pidyon HaBen now? After they were Kaddish back in the day? In order to permit and allow a Bechor to engage in regular mundane activities, you have to redeem the firstborn. Because otherwise he would be on this elevated status and he can't do the regular things that we do each and every day. That's what the Sforno says, which all sounds good and well. Except the Emes Liakov asks a very important question. He says, hold the phone. So what are we celebrating? I made a Pidyon HaBen. I invited 100 people. Served Chinese food. It was delicious. It was amazing. People will come. It's a bracha to come to a Pidyon HaBen. I've been to about 5 Pidyon HaBens in my life. Funny stat, I've spoken at every single one. But I've been to, 5 Pidyon HaBens. And it's a big simcha. But according to the Sforno, what's the simcha? All of a sudden you have this child, he's Kaddish, he's on this elevated status, and now the Pidyon HaBen is we're redeeming him, and we're saying you're no longer on this elevated status, you're a regular person. Celebrate! Party? What kind of party is this? That's the question, which is a very logical question Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks. Secondly, he asks the following, what's the nusach of the tefillah that we say? We know we're familiar by a bris, where we say, "Kishem shenichtas lebris kein yikadas l'tayu l'chupa l'maisim tovim." Just like you enter the bris, so too you should enter into a world of chupa, of good actions, of Torah, etc., etc. But by a Pidyon HaBen, there's a little bit of an additional nusach. We say, "V'yikadas zeh haben l'chayim tovim l'Torah u'lir shemayim." Then we say, but there's a preamble that we don't have by the bris, which is that we say, so what's with that additional hosafa that we say by Pidyon HaBen? So we have a kasha. So I want to explain, the Rabbi Yaakov wants to explain what fundamentally a Jew differs from a goy. And it's symbolized within this notion of the Pidyon HaBen. And that is the following. A goy, traditionally the Christians, they believe that the guf and the neshama are two separate parts of a man. And you're not supposed to intertwine them. The kedusha could only be kaddish, the holiness can only be holy, if it's separate from that which is physical. It's an ascetic belief. You can't engage the mundane, the regular, the usual, which that which is Kaddish. So for example, the only korban that a goy can bring is a korban ola. Because how does a korban ola differ from all other korbanos? Because we don't eat from the korban ola. The ola goes kulul Hashem. So a goy can bring a korban ola because there's no notion of the ola being brought towards a human being's consumption. That's Aleph. Beis, a Jew, we don't believe in that. We believe in a totally different approach. And that is that the guf and the neshama are intertwined. And the object in this world is not to divorce yourself from the guf, but rather to elevate the guf. To take the guf, which comes from this world, and to bring it up, and to elevate it, and to mekadesh it, and to sanctify it. That's the objective. And therefore, by korbanos, we have all kinds of korbanos, not just the ola. Because what's the purpose of a korban? The korban is to elevate. And therefore, when we eat from the korban shlamim, or from the other korbanos, we're taking that which is mundane, and we're sanctifying it. It's an unbelievable gemara that really highlights this. He doesn't bring this down. But it's a gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph. It's a discussion between Antoninus and Rebbe. And Antoninus challenges Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, yeah, tells him, he says, if a Jew wants, he can get out of every single Aveira. How so? Because the guf can make the following claim. The guf could claim that it wasn't me. I didn't do any sins. Why not? Because you see, when I'm dead, the guf is buried and doesn't do anything. Dormant. The neshama could claim, I didn't do anything wrong. Because you see, when I got out of that smelly guf, I'm just floating around tweeting all day. I don't mean like the social media thing, but, you know, floating around, no sins. So look, a Jew could always claim no sins. Rebbe says, no, you missed the point. Mashal l'maha davar dom. I'm going to give you the following mashal, that once there was two people who were the guardians of an orchard, a lame person and a blind person. A lame person and a blind person. So lame, they're watching the orchard, and they see a delicious fruit. Not they, only the lame one, right? The blind person can't see it. That's why he's blind. So what do? The blind person doesn't know where it is. The lame person can't get there. So the lame person goes on the blind person's shoulders, and they go around, chopping around and stealing all the fruits from the orchard that they were supposed to be watching. The balabayas comes back, and the balabayas comes back, and he says, "No, Mr., where's my fruits?" And the lame guy says, "Can't be me, I can't walk." The blind guy says, "I don't even know what you're talking about, I can't see anything." So the balabayas then takes the lame person, puts him on the shoulders and he says, "Ah, you're intertwined, you're together. And when you're together, you could do bad things." Ah, says Rebbe, see, that's the mashal. The guf and the neshama are working together in tandem. That's when you could do mitzvahs, and that's when you could do averis. But they have to work together in tandem. That's the mashal that's going on. So now let's get back to our holy Bechor. What are we celebrating when we redeem the Bechor? We're celebrating that now that he is he's engaged in the mundane, he can elevate that mundane. He doesn't separate himself. A nazir, there's an opinion that says he's a chote. Who are you? Shatsira at Svomana Yayin. A Kodesh Baruch who gave you the wine, what? To elevate. A Bechor, you're here in this world not to remove yourself from that which is Kodesh, but to elevate the mundane and make it into Kodesh. That's what he's doing, and that's why we're celebrating at the Pidyon Aved. We have this specifically on Shavuos. Shavuos. There's a big shiloh. What's supposed to do with Yontif? Is it Chatzilah? Is it Kulul Hashem? Or is it Kulul Lachem? Is it for Hashem? Is it for us? By Shavuos, nobody argues. It's Chatzilah Hashem, Chatzilah Lachem. It's half for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and half for us. Because Shavuos is the day of the Torah. And therefore, we have to engage ourselves, our guf in it, to elevate that. That's the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samach Chesem Beis. That's what Simchas Torah is about. It's taking the guf and elevating it. And this is why we understand the new Nusach. The Nusach is very different than that of a bris. By a bris, we just say that last line, but here we give a preamble. We see the following. We say the following. We say that you have to add in this extra wrinkle of Yiras Shamayim. Why? Because when you engage the guf in this world, it becomes challenging. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to all of a sudden bring your guf into this world and all of a sudden to engage with all kinds of things. The easiest thing to do is remove yourself from everything. But this is not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. A Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to eat delicious food. Plus, he wants us to eat that delicious food and to sanctify it, to make a little bracha before him. He wants the Bechor to be holy, yes, but not just to be holy and to remove himself from the world and to become an ascetic. But he wants him to engage and to bring his guf into this world. And this is why we say the following words. We say the words in the beginning, V'yikonizah ben l'chayim tovim l'torah uli yirah shemayim. Because we want him to make sure that he's imbued himself in his guf with that of Yerushalayim. So we see the Pinyon Aben at the very end of this week's parasha. We should take the lessons of the Pinyon Aben, which is that it's not supposed to be a removal from this world, but rather to take that which is in this world and the Kaddish it. Everybody have an amazing, wonderful Shabbos.